Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Love to kind of step back for a minute and get our minds focused on Christ. It says that he's with us, that he desires to speak to us, that he is a good God, and it's easy to go through life and forget that. And so before we jump into the main content, I just wanted to share this passage to help get our minds on who Jesus is. And I believe that he wants to work in us today. This is what it says in 1 Peter 2. It says this. It says, he never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. We have a good God who has sent his son for us, that has stood there silently as they mocked and beat him because he wants relationship with you. Talk about when we're thinking about what it means to impress or imprint Jesus on someone. I think of no other amazing passage that our God is a good shepherd and he is sought after and he wants us to come to him and be in relationship with him. And we have this ability to commit to who he is, the way in which he has committed to us even when we haven't deserved it. He has invited us to respond to him. And so in that, this series, as we set up this series, today our title will be Commitment. Everyone say Commitment. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But each of these messages will kind of build upon each other. And we're talking about the home sphere. And if you're new around here and you haven't heard the reality of the spheres and different things, we're going to talk about that in a minute so you have an understanding of what that is. But it's talking about this reality of the next generation, or depending what season of life you're in or what your family looks like. We all have family, but sometimes that's different. But we're all called to impress upon and imprint who Jesus is on the people around us. And we'll be talking a lot about what that looks like within doing that with our kids and in partnership with our spouses. But even if we are in different seasons, like if you're single, you have neighbors and maybe nephews and nieces or friends that need to know who Jesus is. And we're going to talk about handing that down and what that looks like. And today we're going to talk about a parallel where the New Testament, God has given through his word and through his people a blueprint of what it looks like to walk with him and live out in our different areas of life, and how that honestly gets to pass down who he is. And then this series is going to be a lot of hitting on Deuteronomy 6. And in Deuteronomy 6, we see both in the New Testament in Ephesians, which we'll talk about, but in Deuteronomy 6, the Old Testament, we see this parallel of this same blueprint of how God has commanded, invited, in light of who he is, for us to live this out and pass this down. And so if you're following us in our notes, the first section is called Commitment. Commitment. And that'll be the title of today as well. I want to talk about Ephesians for us as we start this morning. In Ephesians, I love the book of Ephesians. Anyone love the book of Ephesians? I love it. And at the beginning, he's talking about God's grace and his goodness and who he is. He talks about in Ephesians 3 that we're to make our roots grow down into God and who he is. And we have this picture up here that talks about our five spheres. And really, it's this picture of what we've put a graphic to as you look through how it is broken down. And they're going to have this up there for a while. Because in the beginning of Ephesians, when he's talking about the goodness of God and grace and who he is, we mentioned the reality of what it looks like to abide in Jesus, to know who Jesus is, to put our roots down into him. And it even mentions in other passages that Paul writes, who also wrote Ephesians, he says that the older is to teach the younger. And the abiding spot is where we spend time knowing who he is, and we do that with each other, especially when you first come to know Jesus, and that it hits every other area or sphere of our life. He goes on to mention that the church has been given the pastors and evangelists and different people to help communicate so that we know how we are to navigate in these different areas. He mentions the home and that we are all called for us to be either fathers or wives or kids. And it talks about what that looks like for us. And then he mentions the world and how we're to navigate and how we're to respect authority and to love them even when they're not looking. And then it mentions that if you're a boss, that you're to love and treat well. He mentions these different areas that we are to navigate as we come to the church, as we come and learn what this means. And then he mentions this battle. Who knows that we're in a battle, right? We have an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, to lie, to deceive. And so when we say this is a home sphere conversation, we're talking about this home area that for us, regardless of what season of life you are in, whatever your home looks like, we get to be about reflecting Jesus to those people and helping people know and have that impressed upon. And we're gonna talk about that is actually supposed to be in partnership as we learn from God's word through the church and how he has equipped his people to do that. Listen to this in Ephesians 4. He mentions this. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And so God has given us this blueprint, what it looks like to know who he is, to receive the gospel, to be in step with him, to spend time with him, to go and be connected in a community. I want to ask you this. Do you know that you can't do life alone? God does not want that for you. You could do it alone, but God did not design you to be alone. Do you know that your kids need connection? Do you know that the people around us, regardless of what your home sphere looks like, they need the body of Christ, and we are to learn what it looks like to pass this down to the next generation. And we're gonna be talking about this. Now in Deuteronomy 6, I wanna talk about Deuteronomy 6, which will be at the core of this series as we process this. We see this in the New Testament, him talking about it. Now we're gonna look at Deuteronomy 6, and I wanna give you some bullets, and I'm gonna do my best to story bullets over three or four different books of the Bible. We'll see how well I do. You can go check my work later, and you can go connect the dots. In Exodus, what's happening in Exodus, a few books before Deuteronomy, is that Israel is crying out in slavery. They're in bondage. And Egypt was these cruel slave drivers. And it's actually this picture, because what are we in bondage to before we come to know Jesus? Sin. And Christ came to lead us out of slavery. And so God hears what's going on in Egypt, and he sends a man named Moses. And Moses goes, and over the whole story of Moses, at first he starts to realize that he's supposed to be a part of helping Israel. And he does it, tries to do it himself. He messes it up. And then he runs from Pharaoh, and he goes into the desert for 40 years. Then God shows up and says, I'm gonna send you to go and be a part of what it looks like to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Then he goes in and God, because Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, he has these 10 plagues. And each one represents the reality of these false gods they have. If you're ever interested in going back, it's really powerful stuff. Eventually, Pharaoh lets the people go. And as they're on this journey, they're worshiping God and they're thankful. But then Pharaoh changes his mind, doesn't he? He sends Pharaoh's army. They go after them and they're pinned up against the sea. And then they start to complain. Have you ever complained before? God, why did you do this? And then now I'm in this situation, right? And then he parts the sea. And he goes, and Pharaoh and his army chase after him. And then God crashes down the waters. And they rejoice. God had redeemed them. And then from there, it was always easy. It always made sense. The story's over. No. No. They go out and God gives them these 10 commandments to love the Lord your God, to not envy, these commandments to set his people apart from the rest of the world, to show them what it meant to be who God says they were to be. And in that process, they started worshiping this false god as Moses was getting those when he was on the mountain, right? They automatically start going right back, and then God had to discipline through that, and God had to show up in that. And then through that series, he leads them to the promised land, but they wouldn't go in because they were afraid and wouldn't trust. So then God has to lead them through the desert for 40 years. That's a long time. And God gives things like the sacrifices alongside the commands where the unblemished lamb would be sacrificed, because once the commands were given, it was realized that they were sinners. Anyone realize that you're a sinner? And there had to be a lamb. There was a scapegoat where the priest would put his hand on the scapegoat and it represents their sins transferring to the goat, sent in the wilderness, never to be seen again. God reveals all these things. I just gave you 3 or 4 different books. Hopefully you can go back and put those pieces together. And now in Deuteronomy 6, he's getting ready to have his people go into the promised land. Let's read this in Deuteronomy 6. It says this: "Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Then it skips to verse 11. "Then the houses will be richly stocked with goods that you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns that you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in the land," don't miss this in verse 12, "be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt." See, God had showed up in all these ways and led them out of slavery, and he says, don't forget who you are. Don't forget what I've done and how I've led you and how I've shown up for you. And then he gives them a warning, not when it's going bad, but when it's going well for you, when you get comfortable, watch out that you don't forget what I have done for you. You know, I got to go to Israel 6 or so years ago, and it was awesome. I got to do the tour of Jesus, and it was so interesting because you go there, and they take this verse very literal, and they actually had, like, written verses and stuff, and they had it around their wrists, and they had, like, earrings in and put, like, Bible verses on them so that they wouldn't forget the commands of God and who they are. Some of them had done this, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. But what I thought was so powerful is that they so badly wanted to go, man, I don't want to forget who God is and what he's commanded. I want to be committed to who he is. And in the context of impressing upon the things of God and the commands of God to to our kids. God has invited us in light of who he's done and how he has led us out of slavery to do this. It was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was really funny. I didn't know that this was going to be the course passage or somehow I had missed that. And we actually brought this verse up to my kids at our dinner table. We do devotionals sometimes. You know, for me, as we're talking about impressing Christ onto this next generation, sometimes that's been hard. I have a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old. So big gaps. And so in certain seasons, that's looked very different because it's hard to sit down with all of them when there's such a wide range and have a conversation. It isn't until just recent that we're able to do that more frequently. And it's looked a lot like going to them and having conversations. And I got to ask them questions about this passage. And it was really powerful. It was really cool. I said, hey, what do you think this means? What do you think it means to tie it around your hands and to do these things? And my 7-year-old is so cool. She said, you know, I think that, you know, when it talks about your hands, that it means that we're not only to hear it, but we're to live it out. I was like, wow, I'm going to steal that. And then I talked to, we were like, what else does that mean? And one of my kids said, you know, I think the home means that our house will be about God and that we're to have God in our minds. And it was so cool. And then I got risky, guys. I said, where do you see, do we talk to you about God where we go and where we live and as we go? Where are some of the things that you see us doing that with you? And one of them was like, well, I know that sometimes you play worship music and you sing really loud. I was like, yeah, it's one of the things we do. You know, sometimes it's when we're going to bed and you ask about who God is in our day today. And then one of them said, I don't see you doing that at all. And I was like, oh, I'll take the wins and I'll take the defeats, right? You know, but the point is to foster these conversations. Do our kids understand what we're doing? This is, you know, this isn't a conversation to go let the devil in and go, man, I'm terrible as a father or a disciple maker, or I'm terrible at, you know, impressing upon Jesus into the people around me. That's what he would love to do. But it is this reality to go, man, what has my life looked like? Am I being intentional with the people around me? Whether that's me as a grandparent and impressing Jesus on my grandkids or my nieces and nephews if I'm single, or my neighbors and my coworkers. But at the core of this, for us in this discussion, we get to be about what it means to live out impressing this on our kids. You know, for us in this conversation, it was really cool. We were talking about, who God is the other day in one of our discussions. And we were talking about that the Lord declares that what he says is always true. And we talked about one of the things that he says is always true is that God is with us. And we talked about the reality of, well, God says he's with us, but we can't always see God. Anyone ever have that thought, right? And I got to ask them, and they were a little wrestling with it. And so I said, hey, picture this. Imagine if I was just invisible all of a sudden, and I couldn't talk to you either, but I wrote you a letter, and I said, I am with you. I love you. I care about you. And you saw that because you know me, that it sounded like me. And then his wheels started turning a little bit. It was awesome. He's like, oh, this is from God. God's word is actually from God. And even though I don't see him or feel him at times or think of, like, this is, God is with us. You see, these are the things that I want so badly for people to have impressed upon their hearts. I want my kids to know that there is a God who loves them. Amen. Right? I want them to know. Not only my kids, but I want the people around me to know. You know, I ask my kids often, and I haven't always done the best at this. Who gets really busy? You guys get busy, right? Whether it be our kids, our neighbors, our nephews, our nieces, whatever this looks like, it can get busy. And it can get tiring. And the last thing we want to do sometimes when we're navigating life is to be intentional with this. But God has invited us to be committed to talking about these things when we go, to be about conversations, to be intentional with these things. And as we get tired and as we navigate this, sometimes that looks like asking questions. One of the things I ask my kids all the time, I say, do you know your dad loves you? And they say, I know you love me. I know you love me, Dad, you know. And I say, do you know who loves you more? They go, God. And I go, yeah, it's true. I don't know how, but it's true. You know, as a parent, I've messed up many times, as all of us will. As a disciple maker, we will as well. But this is what God has invited us into. I want people to know that there's a God who thinks about them, who loves them. I want them to know that there's a God who gives us commands and that those commands are for our good, not to be burdensome, not to be controlling. God is a God who gives us commands because it's what's good for us. How many of you have lived a life where you were in the driver's seat and you just came to the end of yourself and you go, my way is not the best way? If you haven't learned that yet, I'm praying for you. God gives us commands. To love the Lord your God, to love others. Who doesn't want to have a life that looks out for others' interests, not just our own, or to forgive in which the way we have been forgiven, to not envy what other peoples have because we want what's best for them the way that God wants what is best for me. These commands, this commitment to who he is and what he wants for us, it is for our good because the opposite is a life of me, self, I, which is empty. It's nothing. I don't think any of us wake up and go, I really want to imprint on my kids' selfishness today. I can't wait to imprint on them a lack of patience, right? Or I can't wait to imprint on my neighbors and coworkers and all these different people. I want them to know who Jesus is. So we've talked about this, the reality of that we're called to pass this down to our kids, but there's another side to this whole conversation. And I wanna jump back to the New Testament and a little bit talk about the Old Testament again. You see, when we're looking at Ephesians, when the blueprint was revealed of what it looks like to abide with Christ, what it looks like to come into the church and be equipped by God's word through the church, which is always supposed to be tested by the word of God, by the way. Wherever there is people, there's problems. Just as there are good people and bad people, we are to test what is said by the word of God. Amen? But there is a blueprint. This isn't an option. This is what God revealed. And what's so interesting is when God revealed this in Ephesians, do you know what was happening around them at that time? If you were a Christian at that time, you were probably going to be hunted, persecuted. If you were a Jew, you would have been excommunicated from the synagogues. So when you see in Acts that all the believers brought all that they had to share that there was no need, it's because some of them couldn't buy, sell, and trade any longer. They had no option. They were a spiritual community. They met house to house each day and in the temple courts. They raised their families in the church, building community within the church to help raise up their kids to know who Jesus is. There was one time where Paul says, don't forsake the gathering of believers. But a lot of it is what was going on in Ephesians is they were just that body of Christ. Sometimes in our season and in what we have here in America, you know, one of the extremes is, you know, I am gonna disciple my kids or the people around me and invest in people, whatever that looks like in your home context, but I'm gonna do it with just me and I. That's an extreme. Another extreme in this conversation, though, is I understand I need my kids involved in the church and who they are and people need connection, but I'm gonna bring them to the church and they're gonna do it all. And I'll be not intentional in any way. Those are two of the extremes on this side. What does it look like for us to go, okay? Another part of this is you look back at Deuteronomy, is they were just traveling through the desert for over 40 years. Their whole community was with them doing life together. If you wanted to go do it off on your own, you'd be like, good luck, see you out in the desert, right? Look at this picture. I wanted to show this photo, the second one that they have right here. See, at the core of their community would have looked something like this. And they were traveling through the desert. At the core, they had the temple, and where they would come and the priests would offer up their sacrifices because the law was given and it pointed to them to the reality of their sins. They knew that they had to have a way for covering within their sin. We talked about the sacrificial lamb and the scapegoat, and they would come and they would gather, but their whole community was built around each other. And so when it's saying pass down the things of God to each other, talk about it in your homes and write it on your doorposts. This would have been them doing this in community together because God was setting apart them as a nation and he was going, you're gonna do this together. You can take the photo down. We have a sermon team, and I love going to our sermon team. We have different preachers at each of the campuses, and I'm very blessed that I get to do that with my dad, and he gets to bring up stuff. And weeks ago, he was processing some of this stuff, and he was sharing about what he tried to do growing up as with us kids. And I didn't realize that he was fully doing it. And he said, he brought up my brother Will, and he said, as Will grew up, he always tried to have him involved with things like youth group or children's ministry or whatever, but he also brought all these other godly people around and tried to have them around because there's a day when your kids don't think you're cool anymore. Anyone in that season right now? And he brought up Craig Miles, who's on our staff, and he brought up that Craig Miles was serving in youth ministry and he was the small group leader. And Craig Miles' boys, Zach and Jake Miles, they were like best friends with Will. And he talked about the reality of that oftentimes it would have been inconvenient to get him over there all the time, but they did life together. And not only that, he was around the adult who loved Jesus. And I didn't realize that I kind of just picked that up growing up where all my kids, we have all my friends that are close relationship. I invite them to all of our birthday parties. When my family shows up, they see all of my close friends there. And the time in which my kids think I'm not cool anymore, which will happen, there are the Samuel Coopers, the Brett Bograns, the Ben Paytons, the you name it. Because we want them to see that it's not just mom and dad. But there's this God who loves them and there are these people that live this out. Maybe you didn't have the opportunity to have some of those things impressed upon you and you're just trying to figure it out now on your own and you're a first generation Christian and you're like, what do I do with this? Guess what? God will meet you where you are and walk alongside you. Maybe for you, you're in a different season and whether you're single or all your kids are out and it looks like investing in your relatives in a different way, but maybe for you, it's going and being a part of people's lives and fostering connection and bringing people to the church, but also being intentional. Whatever that is, God has called us to impress upon the world who Jesus is. You know, we're not gonna do this perfectly. You know, for me, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to God. As I look at my story, you know, I was an addict for years and years, even to the point of homelessness and different things. And when I was just getting out of it, I had my first oldest son, and he was 9 years old, or not 9 years old, he was 9 months old when I quit doing drugs. And so there was a little bit of overlap. And I thank the Lord that now he won't even remember that side of me. That now he gets to see someone that just wants him to know Jesus. You see, God takes us where we're at in our stories. And he works through them. And I'm so thankful. The things that I used to care about were the things of the world that were empty, the things of the world that I wanted for myself and me and I, and I didn't care who I would hurt. And now I'm so thankful that I even get to live this out, that God not only saved me, but I get to imprint Jesus. Are you kidding me? We get to commit to being about what God says. And here's the reality. Jesus says, if you really love me, you will obey me. That's hard, isn't it? But when you understand what he's done and who he is, you will obey me. Not perfectly, not all the time, not just, and it always feels good and easy, but he says you will live this out because when you understand who Jesus is, you want to obey him, to commit to him. Listen to this in Ephesians 1. It says, all praise to God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Who wants people to know this? It's not gonna be easy. It's gonna take commitment. It's gonna take sacrifice. We're gonna fail. But here's what I wanna say today. You can't impress upon anyone unless Christ has first impressed upon you. And maybe today you need to throw your hands up and go, God, I need you in my life. Maybe you've made a whole mess of your situation and your context. Guess what? You get to start today. Maybe you are in here and you've done an amazing job and you've loved the people around you and you've been living this out. I wanna say continue on, persevere. It's not easy. Whatever those things are, there's gonna be some challenges with it. But as we get ready to enter into communion, I wanna ask you a few questions as we get ready to close here today. As we talk about this series, this is kind of the setup to go. We're gonna talk about some things throughout this series. We're gonna talk about roadblocks and things that stand in the way from the enemy trying to come in and drag away our kids or the people we invest in who the enemy wants to come in and destroy. We're gonna talk about those pieces. We're gonna talk about what it means to partner with our spouses or partner with people in your context of home. We're gonna talk about all these things, but I wanna ask you these questions today. One, will we be a people that in the face of this culture that decides to commit to God's ways and God's blueprint? Two, will we trust that God has died for us, that he wants relationship with us, that it takes depending on him? And if you have not received him, we would love to have that conversation with you. We would love to get you in community. That's the last question. Are you in community? Your kids need community. You need community. We together can't do it alone. And God is working in this place. I don't know if you know that or not. There's people coming and they're taking steps and people wanna get baptized and people wanna get connected and we're getting to all of those and we're getting people to help them do life, that we get to do this as a community together. What is your step within that?
We wanna thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.